Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names, Lord. Father, open hearts to receive that which you have given me to speak for your glory and for your honor. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Encounter us right now, that we would be changed into your image, Lord. Remove the impurities. Remove the dross from our life. Sanctify us, that we might be holy unto you, Lord. That we would be sealed unto redemption for when you come down to the clouds and say, "It is time, bride. It is time," that we would be found in you. In Jesus' name we pray, bless this time and bless your word. Let it not return void, as you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am going to read Philippians 3, 8 through 11 out of the New Living Translation today. And yes, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when comparing with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful scripture. To know him. To know him. Turn open to 1 Peter chapter 3. As we continue on, let's pick it up again in verse 1 all the way through. We're going to go through verse 17 today. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands. This is after, right after Peter has given us the example that Jesus Christ is the example to which we look towards. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you were to do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs, joint heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Right.
You are called to live holy, that your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of one mind. All Christians, be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers and be tender-hearted. Be courteous. You heard what that meant, yes, last week. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling or reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain from his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, suffering for right and wrong. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for hope. hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. Give a defense, just like being courteous. You are assisting. God called us to go out into the nation, to preach the gospel, and to make disciples. He uses us. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So Peter tells believers in chapter 2 how we should live in regards to the government, to those who are in authority in our workplace. And then he takes it at a personal level, at the marriage level. And then he talks about it from the point of view with our Christian brothers and sisters as all. So Peter continues to drive the point home regarding our conduct. And I never really looked at those passages before, and really like the point driving home. And be holy. And it's this constant thread that comes out. And Peter goes even further to break down that our conduct should be the same regardless of interaction of those who are good and bad. If they're bad, if they're evil towards me, if they're good, it should not change how I live. Right. We in America perhaps cannot relate to this level as many of our sisters and brothers in Christ, as they're persecuted at a whole nother level than we could ever imagine right now. But at the core, many Christians in America struggle most with witnessing Christ. Most people, when they first come to Christ, are more prone to share the gospel with another than those who have been in the faith for years. It's a fact. I don't know what it is. Is it? And I deal with some of the same issues. You know, is it fear of rejection? Fear of how you will be treated? You'll be thought of as an outcast or as a loony? You believe in that Jesus stuff? See, we could take Peter's words to heart, so we can obtain boldness, holy boldness. Not like. Not like to taunt it in front of somebody, but because you have compassion in their hearts to understand that they're lost.
That's right.
Lost. And the boldness is that you understand that they're lost and they need a Savior. They need a Savior. I was watching the news and the things that happened, like, you know, the anger that is in the streets. Like, I remember emailing with someone at work this week, and they were like, something in the air. And I said, yeah, it's the love of many waxing cold. It's just there. And people are so lost. We have to have compassion for them because they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is our example. So we need boldness for the days that are going to continue to get darker in this world. We must prepare ourselves to suffer for Christ. See, Peter identifies believers. Says, hey, you're to be pilgrims, to be aliens, sojourners in this world. But that's the point. We are in this world. We're in it. We're not of it, but we're in it. That's where God has put us. He's put us right here. He put us in Downers Grove for a reason. And this world is hostile. It is hostile to God. And it is hostile to Christians because of that. They hate God. They're haters of God. That's what it is. They don't know. They don't know Him. Therefore, they're haters of God. It goes all the way back to the garden when Satan gained control of the world system. Satan has since infiltrated every high place and institution of the world system to not only suppress the gospel, but to persecute the children of God because he hates God. Right. He hates God. And so that's his way. I will pour out my wrath on his children. So when we read verses 13 to 17, we can understand what to expect in this hostile world. The world will, in verse 13, harm you. Verse 14, you'll suffer. Verse 16, you'll defame you and revile you. And verse 17, again, suffer. So we're called to live in a hostile world. We're called by Jesus to go out and teach the gospel and make disciples in this hostile world through what? The Great Commission. We are to do this by pursuing good, living holy and righteous lives with a good conscience. In addition, we're always ready to give an account for a defense of the truth of the gospel as Christ is our Lord and Savior. Because Christ is the Lord, we should fear God rather than man. These are all things Peter said. For God is the righteous judge. As a result, just like Peter and the disciples in Acts, we can grow in boldness as a witness for Christ, our living hope. I haven't shared these in a while, but I got this past week. I ran. That was the whole focus. Not welcome as Christians there. But I just wanted to share a little bit about this couple, Soro and Ali, listening to the Holy Spirit. They had returned to Iran. They were away from Iran. They returned to Iran in 2002 after living abroad for more than 20 years. They were keenly aware of how dangerous it was to return, but they felt the Holy Spirit led them there. The couple had counted the cost before returning to Iran, especially as each of their children were born. It's an interesting thing, trusting God with your family, Searle said. For us, it was just so clear. The joy and the privilege of being able to go overshadowed the fact that something could happen. And he said, as a family, so he said, we were called, Soro and Ali, the husband and wife were called, and Soro said, he called our kids, he called our family, and the Lord knew what he was doing with our kids. And so they start meeting and preaching the gospel. And he would baptize new believers. He would baptize them. Amen. But he would ask them standard questions about their faith, like, what do you identify? And he always ended with one final question, because he understands. He understands the time in which we live. Are you willing to give up your life for Jesus? That's his question. That was his final question before baptizing. See, in Iran, that question had great importance. They decided, because they heard back in 2009, they heard of Muslims coming to faith through dreams and visions of Jesus. Like, see, if people won't do it, God will find a way to get his message out. And it felt like Jesus said, I am not going to wait for people like you to do their job, Soro said. It was after that we just grew in boldness. While fear was still there, the country as a whole was becoming more desperate for the truth. See, people don't know it. People take for granted the gospel here. Where overseas, they haven't even heard it. They haven't even heard it. And then suddenly they hear it and they're like, I thought it was something else. In their mind, they've conceived because it's been suppressed because the governments have said this is how you're to believe. In China, they're telling the churches, this is how you're supposed to do worship. This is what you're supposed to say. And it's actually meant to build up the government and not Christ. They were arrested eventually. Both him and his wife were arrested and thrown into jail. Just before the arrest, in God's providence, the couple had moved their supply of stored Bibles to another believer's home 2 weeks prior to that. But they were separated, the wife and husband. Listen to this. And they were being interrogated, trying to get them to turn from their faith. Each time Soro was blindfolded, covered in her chador, and led to the interrogation room, she was accused of collaborating with the American government and ordered never to talk about Jesus with anyone. They even tried to use scripture to persuade her to talk to them, and they wanted names of church members. Isn't that like Satan himself to twist scripture? After a while, Searle said, the fear just goes away and boldness comes. While her interrogations intended to crush the church in Iran, she knew from church history that it could not happen. That's what Rome tried to do. They tried to crush the church. Sure, they can bring fear and scatter people. That's the point of persecution, he said. But eventually the people grow bold and then they are not afraid anymore. Why? Because trials and persecutions and suffering do what? It refines our faith. More pure than gold. Walking through persecution, she says, I had recognized the presence of evil in our interrogators, but she also came to understand that the experience was ordained by God. He was allowing us, his children, to suffer because he wanted us to carry his presence into their presence. Amen. Of the interrogators. He loved them so much, the judges, the interrogators, the guards, that he allowed us to go through a really, really hard time to carry his presence into their presence so they could come in touch with him. She prayed, the wife actually prayed for an opportunity when she was able to come home, but she prayed for an opportunity to be bold. And there she was, she called in the courtroom. She was called into the courtroom. When you were only given 2 minutes to talk, she talked for 45 minutes about Jesus and the gospel. The guards heard it. Where is it at? Let's see. Testifying to the judge. Here it is. She began, Sorrow was disappointed that she had never been able to testify about Jesus during a court hearing. So she asked the Lord for that chance. One day she arrived at the court alone, and the normally crowded halls were empty. She began to tremble as she sensed the Holy Spirit saying, this is the day. What is today? Today is the day of salvation. And to her great joy, the judge agreed to let her speak. And Sorrow began by explaining the creation and fall of man, then moved through the Old Testament story, showing how God used each event to point towards something yet to come. She spoke for 45 minutes, finishing by describing Jesus as the sacrificial Lamb of God. That was God's provision for our sin, she told the judge. Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. People came and went from the courtroom as Sorrow spoke. When the judge's secretary came in, he told her to sit and listen. Then a guard with a prisoner entered the room and stayed. Others arrived with paperwork for the judge, but he merely signed the papers and motioned for Sorrow to continue her speech. When she had finished, the judge said, you know, we Muslims can't be perfect all the time. Sorrow replied, I know, neither can I. That is why we need a savior, a sacrifice for our sins. Wow. Wow. How awesome. Boldness, holy boldness to share. It wasn't, she wasn't looking for the outcome. She was just being obedient to what she was to do. God's in control on the other end, just like yesterday. Obedient to do and to speak what we do. God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one in control. You have to understand that. It's not about you. If you don't see the results, Jeremiah preached for years and years on repentance, and no one would listen. So here's some points, a couple points. Won't be a super long message today. We'll just finish by five. Point one, as pilgrims, we are to witness in a hostile world. John 15, 18 through 20 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. That's why the watered down gospel, you know, it's just like, you don't confront sin. People got to understand where they're at, that they're wretched. Yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Because they do not know him who sent me. Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In hell. See, we are to live a good life with good conscience, knowing that even if our enemies harm us today, either they will be won to Christ through our conduct, even in the face of persecution, or eventually they will stand before Him on Judgment Day. See, Stephen's conduct made a difference. I truly believe that. That was the catalyst. That motion started to get Paul going, Saul at the time. See, those who do evil to us, to those who are good, right? Those who do evil will either pay a price here by those in authority. We have the government, as we learned about in the previous chapter. It's not perfect, but God has established government to uphold law and order. But they will also suffer in eternity. But we know even if we suffer in this life, even if we suffer in this life, we will be vindicated from our enemy in the life to come. You see, Stephen didn't get vindicated at that point, but he sure got to see the glory of God when those clouds opened up. He saw the glory. He saw the joy that was before him. Trials and suffering refine our faith. God is just and He is full of grace and does not immediately judge the wicked. Why? Because He's hoping that all would come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
As a result, we must be prepared for living a holy life, even in the face of persecution. If we do suffer, verse 14 says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." We're not talking about a financial blessing here. He's not talking about feeling good. He said, but for the joy. A joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That it's a joy that you have lived a life pleasing to God. That's what he's talking about. You're blessed. See, Jesus himself, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, "For we also are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and let us run the endurance of the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand for the throne of God." See, it's always about Jesus, and we are to look at him as our example. Matthew 5, 11 and 12, Jesus said, Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen to this. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We are considered to be on par, on the same level as the prophets who had gone before us. That's what Jesus just said. You are on the same level as those before you, Elijah and all those who would proclaim. You're on the same level as them. You're part of the great cloud of witnesses because you are blessed. You have a joy before you. How awesome to be lumped into that fold. Great is your reward in heaven. Point number two, our witness is living holy lives with good conduct, speaking truth and hope. Hope. Amen. See, people are watching us, are they not?
Always.
Every day. Every day. Probably even more so than you think. Big brother watching us too. But see, both believers and non-believers are watching you. This truth. Both believers and non-believers are watching you. We must live holy lives so that our conduct is a good witness. It's a witness. In Titus chapter 3, 1 through 9 and verse 14, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities." Sounds like very much like Peter. It's like they're like 1 Peter 2 and 3 are like simultaneous to this passage. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men, both believers and non-believers. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Remember the sermon, Love Broke Through? We talked about that. We talked about God's love when it broke through. The scales of your eyes have been removed. And the light of God came shining through. Amen. And it changed you forevermore.
Sure did.
It changed you forevermore. If it hasn't changed you, go back and do your first love over again. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Verse 14. And let our people also learn that to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. See, our good lives meet an urgent need, for time is drawing near. So the point, I want to just things underline there. These things are good and profitable to men. That section there. And then urgent. You see, Satan's the master of the urgent, which is not urgent. Yeah. What is urgent? What is urgent? As time draws too near, that each person has an appointed time that they're going to pass from this life and stand before a holy and just God. That's the urgency to which we must live as believers, not to hinder the gospel from going out. If we live a life of holy, good conduct, this will create a thirst, right? Being salt, salt creates thirst to want to know more of why you live the way you do. Why do you say things that way? Why do you do things that way? Why don't you do like everyone else? In fact, it's noted in Titus, the good conduct is good and profitable to men. That's interesting how something is profitable to men because it's not what the world thinks is profitable. Profitable would be like obtaining things. Possessions. Why is it good and profitable? Because it's profitable for their soul. It's profitable for their soul. Because they're being drawn back to God through your holy living. That's why. That's why it's profitable. As stated last week, as we live holy lives and are obedient to the Word starts to take authority in your life. In your life. As a result, we are being changed on the inside. We get changed on the inside, and then suddenly, things that never bothered you before now bother you, and you change. You change. You stop doing things that you used to do, your former lusts. Amen. As you become more obedient to the Word of God, the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Things that you may thought were okay before suddenly aren't. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of that. It says, hey, you're going the wrong way on this. Thank God. Thank God that He does that. Amen. Why? Because others are watching. What happens next? After you live this, you draw this person through and they're wondering why. What happens next is someone you know that knows you personally, notices something that has changed in you and asked, what's changed? Why? That's where defense comes in. That's what the Scripture says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Defense is apologia. Apologetics, that's where we get it. It's a verbal defense, an answer for self. It's a legal defense. Reason is logos, a discourse, an account. It's communication, it's doctrine. Why do you believe what you believe? Logos, when you break it down, says a word being the expression of a thought, a saying. Preeminently used of Christ, John 1:1, expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. How awesome is that? With regards to a person sharing a message, what message do you have? The message of the cross? The message of eternal hope and life in Jesus Christ, who saved you from eternal destruction? Sounds like a pretty important message to get out, wouldn't you say?
Amen. Miracle.
Do you believe that or not?
Yep.
It's, if you believe it, then I'm not talking about orchestrating opportunities. I'm just talking about being obedient, living a life, and then all of a sudden when people ask, you're ready to give a defense. And I think the reason why Peter writes this specifically, because we've been studying Peter, Peter was well acquainted with not being prepared for a defense. Do you remember the night of his betrayal?
Yeah.
Do you remember the night of his betrayal? He was caught off guard. He was sitting there by the fire, and she's like, this man, I never knew him. He was not prepared. We have learned how knowing him has changed Peter's course. All throughout the book of Acts, we saw this change that happened, right? Mm-hmm. This change, this holy living that happened. And through sanctification, he grew bold and more bold in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter was saying. Be on guard. Tuck in the loose ends of your mind, right? Tuck it in. Show some self-control. Be ready to share a defense. That's the awesome part of God's grace. Even in our failures and in our shortcomings, he uses them just like he used Peter to refine and shape us, to understand, like, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. So you say, I can't explain that. Yes, you can. Share your testimony first. Yes. Then if you spend time in the Word, you'll understand. You'll be able to share those things.
Amen.
If you'd asked me 3 years ago, could I have stood up there yesterday and preached and then shared salvation, I would not have felt confident in doing that. But it wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. 2 Timothy 4:2a says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season.
Amen.
That means be prepared. Be prepared.
It's coming.
Be ready. And I'm going to close here. Be ready to share the gospel. You don't need to fight and argue with a person.
Nope.
The truth needs no defense itself. You're giving them the truth. And if people don't want to receive it, they don't want to receive it. They worship their creation rather than the Creator. You need to be able to present the truth in a clear manner. Peter says to share the defense in meekness and fear. Meekness meaning humility and gentleness. Why are you sharing it in gentleness? Because you know they're lost. Fear is the reverence which we fear God more than man. To be clear, we can speak confidently and we can speak boldly, but with strength under control. You don't want to hit them over the head with it. But we do it all for the kingdom of God. That's why we do it. We do it for His glory, not for ours. In closing, it says we must sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify is hagiazo, which means to make holy, to render, to acknowledge, to separate from profane things, and dedicate to God, to purify. So when purifying means to cleanse externally, to purify internally by renewing of the soul. So listen here. So if your soul and your inner man is purified, then the result is your outer man will appear clean. Right? We are to be set apart for our Lord so that it will help us endure for His sake. So as He's doing the work on the inside, then the outside is changed. What happens? We're spreading light, Remember? Now, salt internal, light external. Going back to these messages, you've learned. That's why it's so great, you guys. If some of you take notes, you go back and you see this stuff and it comes alive. I go back and reference old stuff all the time. It's awesome. See, we were going to bear witness even in the face of evil and hostility through our good behavior, living holy lives, being ready to share the truth of the gospel as a defense of our witness, submitting to Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Do you have the confidence of that? Do you have the confidence in it? I'm asking you. Do you have the confidence to proclaim the gospel? Do you have the confidence to proclaim his witness? We bear witness of what he's done in our life. He's Lord of all. Listen, he's returning. He's returning on the clouds to take away his bride. And he will be coming back with that bride on a white charger, ready to crush the enemy and set his rule and reign for eternity. For eternity, be about your Father's business. Be about it. Be about it. When you have your opportunity, people are looking at you, Mr. Tony. They're looking at the trial you're going through right now. Let your faith, you too, Ellie. You guys are one. You're one. Amen. Be a light in that example. It's not easy. What you're going through is not easy. What you're going through is not easy. People are watching you. They are watching how you talk to other people.
That's right.
At work. What are you exuding? What are you displaying? What are you displaying?
That's right.
We examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. Not get right. Get in right standing. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you the power to be that example. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it has revealed the in thoughts, intents of our heart. Take out that stony heart, if there exists one, and give us a new heart of flesh for you, Lord Jesus. A heart that desires for you, to live for you, to be set apart for you, to consecrate to you, to live for you all our days, whether it's one day or if it's 30, 50, 60 years, whatever it be, Lord Jesus, you know our timing. We eagerly await for your return, but until then, let us boldly proclaim you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.